I would have been crying.
That nigga said, today I got time, cuz. What he said? He said, yo, you pressed me when I was with my daughter. And that was on some disrespectful shit. He said, but today I got time, cuz.
I was on some cool shit.
That's what he said, I was on some cool shit?
Something
what?
Like that.
So you never kept the G real?
Today I got time, cuz.
Nah, that nigga said, today I gotta keep the G real.
Oh, a nigga tell me today I got time, cuz.
a nigga telling you he's gonna keep it G real. You should have known he wasn't to be fucked with right then in the moment.
Why would he say that?
That's a stupid ass question. He told you why he said it. He had time. He was available. He had no other pressing issues. Today I got time, cuz.
Did they even fight?
I don't remember. I just remember, today I got time, cuz.
We didn't know, like, they're running their back, right? I remember that, too. That was a classic song.
That's a classic video. So is, you remember when the girls was fighting and the chick hit the other bitch with the shuffle?
Yeah, ran away?
That one was hilarious, too. And then they put the Gwen Stefani on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
They just kept running her, getting beamed in the back of her shit. But you know our all-time favorite.
Patch? they had to run out there.
Wait, they did Katie?
They said Katie can't leave nothing and they had Pat saying, I'm no bitch.
When he said, what'd he say? He said, they call me Patch. He said, yo, Patch, your hood on some nut shit. Your hood being on some nut shit is crazy.
That's exactly what after that he said, yo, I'm no bitch. You know Patch was fighting, right?
He said, you know, they call me the young bull. And rumor has it, that was young Colin Sexton. I'm just telling you what the rumor is. I don't know if it's true or not. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
The Colin Sexton's hair was ever that bad.
All right, you ready for me to intro us?
Yeah. I know you got me on Snap now. I think it was
Yeah, y'all know what time it is. You know the fucking vibes. It's time for the Shaw's Law Podcast. And this is really the Shaw's Law Podcast because I got Yosh with me. But before we get into that, you know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. Oh, man. Yosh, say what up.
What up, man? Long time listener. Honored to be here. I don't even want to pod. I just honestly wanted to meet you in person. So I'm ecstatic. Feel honored. No, but it does feel good to be back, seriously. And let's hop right into it.
You're going to make me do the Kanye. I know. I look better in real life. But you want to start with game two?
Yeah, you can set it off. Yeah, well.
Oh, man. It's the duel. Like, even though neither of them shot particularly good last night, Book or PG.
What duel? Because the game two, we was watching Reggie and Cameron Payne.
Cameron Payne.
We was watching them like, I was Westbrook's best backup. Like, the way that was, they were battling, bro. Oh, my God, were they going at it.
But you know why Cameron Payne is doing this.
I don't know. He's super confident, though, and I love it.
It's the spirit of CP.
Yo, we gotta stop acting like this. I'm glad you brought this up. Like, yes, do I believe that without Chris Paul, the Suns are a 2-seed? No. Do I believe they make the playoffs? Yes. Do I believe Chris Paul taught these guys how to breathe, eat, drink, and like, no. Like, we just, I don't understand how he's not, like, the Suns are up 2-0, and everybody's giving Chris Paul credit. Like, yes, he's a great point guard. He's the point guard. But I'm just saying, like, we're watching Ayton busy. Cameron Payne, Chris Paul's backup. Like, we're seeing what he's doing. He's active. Devin Booker, a young, phenomenal. Like, he's just killing everything in sight. Like, these guys got players. Mikal Bridges, like, we know lockdown, 3-and-D. Like, they're really good. Jay Crowder has a long track record of being a starter on really good teams. Like, if you go down the line, like, they got guys that can hoop. And I just feel like when we give all the credit to Chris Paul, we're doing a disservice to the Phoenix Suns as a whole team. Like, Monty Williams, a really good coach, right? So we got to put respect on his name. And, like, he got, and the players as well. And that's not taking anything away from Chris Paul. That's just shining light to where it's deserved for the other players, is how I'm looking at it.
All right, so I got a couple questions.
Shoot.
Were rappers using lint rollers before Big Draco?
What?
Were rappers using lint rollers before Soulja Boy?
I know who Big Draco is.
Okay, no, they weren't. Who discovered America? Soulja Boy. Way before Christopher Columbus. And this is sort of the same thing. Like, the Suns wasn't winning playoff series before Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton wasn't dunking in game winners before Chris Paul was his teammate.
Yeah, of course.
Seriously, though. I think Chris Paul has clearly changed the culture in Phoenix. But that doesn't mean he didn't go rebound 700 Cameron Payne jumpers a day. Like, the reason Cameron Payne's better is because Cameron Payne put in the work. Chris Paul, I'm sure, taught him a lot of things. Chris Paul can teach me a lot of things.
You gotta have the skill.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out and have 30 of them.
Like, Ayton was suspended for, like, the first 16 games, right?
Of this year? No, he was suspended for... I want to say he was suspended 25 last year. No,
yeah, not this year, of course. I'm talking about last year.
I'm saying taking it back,
because you brought up CP changing the culture, right? And I'm saying... We got to give Monty Williams credit for that, too. Like, if you go back last year, they still, with him missing 25 games, they were still in the upper echelon of making the bubble. And the bubble games were all, like, playoff games, right? Like, everybody that was there, like, the Suns knew they had to be perfect. They still didn't make it, but they got the respect of the league. They went 8-0, and the shit that those guys were doing, like, I really, they put the, like, yo, we're here, like, we're for real. And you could make, and you can really make the case, like, if Ayton plays, like, these niggas might have been around. So, it's not, and this is, I've seen other people talk about this on Twitter, so I don't want to act like these are all my thoughts, because I hate doing that. I'm not sure who else I'll give credit. But I'm just saying, it's not really the good feel story how everybody's making out seem with Chris Paul. It's not, Chris Paul took a bunch of dudes that were just talented and didn't know how to play together and could never figure out how to win, like, no, like, we knew Devin Booker's prime time. Like, this is him. And, like, that brings me to another point. I don't want to go on a too long of a tangent here, but...
Why? Go on!
No, we got to stop blaming players for, like, their situations. Like, when our young guy is good, we want him to be great. And that's kind of unfair to that guy. Like, Devin Booker was really good when he was younger, right? He's still young now. But I'm just saying, like, since he was so good, we wanted him to lead him to the playoffs, which is unfair because basketball is a team game. Mm-hmm. And then we put way too much on these guys, like the Levines, the Zions. And I'm just saying, like, no, we have to look at what's that coach doing? What's his roster? Is the coach utilizing them, like, to their best of their abilities? And you have to look at the whole picture because everyone's like, how is Devin Booker doing this? Motherfucker, if you watch basketball, you would see what's coming. Like, this shouldn't be a shock. Like, it's really cool that he's doing this on this stage. But, like, we knew he's a hooper. Like, this is, he's made for this. This is his shit. Like, when he gets the ball in the clutch and he makes it, I'm like, this is his shit. Like, I expect this. I expect greatness because I watched him. But, enough of my little rant.
All right. Your rant made me think of two things. First of all, when Ayton got suspended last year, do you remember what Barkley said on TV?
Nah, I don't remember.
Oh, man. This guy Barkley goes, the Suns won a game and they started drug testing everybody.
That's a classic.
And I'm me. Like, people that listen to me know that sometimes I think players, like former NBA players, get an unfair leg up in the media world. But then there's times where you see why they know so much more than us. Who went to the finals last year?
The Lakers and the Heat.
Did you think the Heat were an NBA Finals team last year?
I'm not going to cap, no.
You know who thought they were an NBA Finals team?
Kenny?
No, Jimmy Butler. That's why he went there. This year, everybody, the most optimistic Suns fan probably didn't see this. You know who did see that? Chris Paul. That's why he said trade me there. Like, those are things, like, where their hoop knowledge, like, nah, this team with me? Nah, we could get shit done. We're a contender with me. This group with me, and if I can bring my mans, yo, Jay Crowder, come fuck with me. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's why they'll know more about it than we could ever learn. like certain things like that.
I 100% don't think any of our knowledge will ever be on that. Just because, one,
they lived it.
Living it is one thing, but also playing it, and then they watch a lot of tape. And they get to see shit live. When you're doing it live, seeing shit live is such a huge difference than watching on TV. You can watch a lot of tape, but seeing it live is just, it's a different experience. And that brings up a good point that Chris Paul saying, these guys with me. Like, I'm sure Chris Paul didn't look at these guys and go, these niggas fucking suck. Like, if he said these guys with me, that means there had to be something there to get his attention in the beginning.
So I'm glad we got that off, because I do think that is important, that let's give the flowers to the players that are actually on the court.
100%.
With that said, campaign has been good all postseason. Devin the Lab, you and Randy's guy. In the first round, he was like, I've never seen anybody hunt LeBron. And I remember thinking, I did see him go at LeBron a couple times. But like, Dev did the homework and he put out like a clip of it, like a minute and a half. In a six-game series, for the backup point guard to have a minute and a half of going at who might be the GOAT in the play, he's going at him. Like, he's back through the, doing the, oh, let me get a run and start at him. You know when you do the backwards through the legs to back up so you can get space to go at him? He's doing those. He's calling for Bron's man in the pick and roll. Like, nah, nah, you said it. I hope they switch. Like, man.
His confidence is sky high, and I think that comes from putting the work in. You know what I mean? Like, he knows he put the work in. Monty gave him a chance. His teammates believe in him. And then he's having success, so like, that's just going to keep growing his confidence.
And he's, his story's been told a million times. The we knew after the second practice he wasn't an NBA player is what the Bulls said. And how he had to go overseas, and he played with the Texas Legends in the G League. So for him to be like out here really doing it, having big games, like Devin Booker was average last night. Like, he was average for him, which is still good, but that was the Cameron Payne game.
Cameron Payne and Ayton were definitely showing their ass.
Ayton had 12 points in the first quarter.
No, they were hooping.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's 17-17, and I look up, and Ayton's got 12, and I'm like, oh my God. It's 5-17 if DeAndre Ayton isn't everywhere.
Yeah. Like, he's, I don't know, you want to just hop into, like, the matchups and everything?
Yeah, yeah, that's the
joke. Okay, so my thing is, looking at the series as a, well, the playoffs as a whole, when I look at the Clippers, everybody goes, when they go down 0-2, like, they go on this, like, crazy run, and, like, Kawhi's numbers are insane. So then we have to look at, like, the whole picture. Like, okay, taking the best player off. Like, Kawhi's, he's done for the series. So that's
what. Wait, no, he's not out, I don't think. I think they said that he's out. He was definitely out game two and maybe three, but there's a chance he can come back. Oh, you don't think he's ever coming back? Okay. You think it's over for him?
I know we do. But okay.
Because it was ruled a sprain as opposed to a tear.
Okay. I hope he comes back just because I want the best players on the court. But
yeah, you keep hoping he comes back. You know where the fuck I stand.
No, I definitely hope he comes back. But without Kawhi, at least he's out for game three, as long as we know, though, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't think, with, if you look at the Mavericks series, when they went down 0-2, the Clippers just went small. And Carlisle went big, which I actually thought was kind of right. They went to 7-4 at 7-3, played the zone. Clippers advance. Same thing with the Jazz. They played, they didn't play Rudy off the floor, but like Terrence Mann, and like they had him all over the court, and they exposed him. And this series, I knew was going to be a little different because Ayton's a little bit more mobile, but more importantly, he could defend, and he's going to be able to score. Like, he has good hands, he runs the floor, and he's going to abuse little guys. And the thing is, he was given Zubac hell. So they have no answer. Like, if they go big, Zubac's not the answer, and I think the Clippers are better when they go small, but if they go small, they just, Ayton, like, you, when you look at Ayton, they have no answer for him. So I don't know what type of adjustments Ty Lue can make that is going to have, that's going to really change the series. Like, they were right there. They definitely could have won the game, like, especially with some Paul George free throws. But I'm just saying, I don't know, with Chris Paul coming back more, because I saw he was on it for like game three. With him coming back faster than Kawhi, I think they could really be in trouble. And if Chris Paul comes back, I think then you're definitely going to have to go small, because we saw what Chris Paul does to bigs in the pick and roll. So having Zubac out there, I just think it's going to be even harder. And then you still have the Ayton problem. So I'm looking at it, trying to figure out what Ty Lue can really do to switch things up.
So my initial thought is, there was a moment where it looked like they were going to be able to run Ayton off the floor in game one. You remember Paul George hit like three threes back to back, and like they're all off Ayton pick and rolls?
Yeah.
They were in that moment. But I think Paul George shot incredible in that game. Like, they need to just shoot otherworldly, because they're not switching it. They're hard hedging and recovering.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think they might just be better off switching it. Like, if that happens with Ayton's mobility, let him beat me off the drive. Like, hey, I'm going to get up. If he blows by me, I know there's not going to be a lot of rim protection. So maybe he gets a layup. But, like, the threes just hurt so bad, and this is a really good three-point shooting Clippers team.
Yeah, they got shooters, all right.
Man, like, let's go through, like, I guess we can go through the fourth quarters where it gets, like, really interesting. You want to wax poetic about how annoying all the stoppages are? I know getting it right is important, but for my belief is that basketball is more art than sport. Like, it's poetry. It has like this amazing flow to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we just kill the flow in the last 2 minutes. The last 2 minutes, they're just like, that beautiful game, cut that shit out. We're gonna, it's like practice almost. You got it wrong, run it again. Damn, coach, we're not gonna be live. No, it's shell drill basically.
Yeah, I hate that. The last 2 minutes, it kills the flow. It gets some of the, not some, it gets a lot of the excitement out. And like in...
And it probably cost the Clippers the game last night.
I'm Captain Hindsight, and I hope Adam Silver is too. Like, when you look at it, you, in theory, like, yo, this is a really good idea, until you actually do it, and you're like, this is a really bad idea. Because you would think, why wouldn't you want to get the calls right, right? Why wouldn't you want to... But, like, it just takes too long. Like... Then maybe there's a happy middle ground where, like, they can have somebody already ready, how Jeff Van Gundy said last night.
Or there needs to just be a number.
What do you mean?
Just cap it. Yo, 2 reviews in the last 2 minutes. That's it. I don't give up.
Okay.
But then you can... So, coaches, if you there's 2 reviews that are for everybody that the ref uses, and then keep your challenges. If you want a third one, keep your challenges.
Yeah, I just...
But that'll stop players from every time the ball goes out, they're running over doing the fucking home run signal. Like, yeah, all right, like, guys,
they
relax.
Get a quick breather, a fake timeout, well, a real timeout. And it's
those
just
are
like,
longer than timeouts, and that costs the Clippers the game. Yeah, that's like, I don't think Monty Williams was going to... Let's say that the play they ran for the game winner was called Dragon Flake X. I don't think he was just going to yell, yo, Dragon Flake X, and everybody was going to be like... Oh man, this play, I remember.
I just don't think that would have happened. I really think we're like, even if that if it would
have been
happening,
a shot. What,
no, with the CP spirit out there, they would have known what the fuck to do. With the CP spirit, they would have said activate, and then the same thing that we saw last night would have happened.
So they would have read Dragon Flake X, and everybody would have done it perfectly.
Of course, clearly
with the spirit of CP.
With the spirit of CP.
No, but, like, I'm serious. Like, Jeff Van Gundy made some great points. He said, man, this is a free timeout for the Suns.
Oh, yeah, he was nailing it. He was amazing last night.
He even told us, I watch out for the lob to Ayton.
Yeah, like, he was spot on. I thought he was great.
He was hooping. He was in the zone.
Boy, was he.
And then the crazy thing about that last play that they reviewed, they gave us the worst angles. Bro. Not on the alley-oop, on the Mikal Bridges miss. They never zoomed in. Like, I didn't know who it was off. Like, they didn't zoom in on the fingers. Normally, like, they do the, oh, yeah, that's clearly off Zubat's finger. They just said, and it's out of bounds, and they're reviewing it. And then they showed us the whole play, but they never showed us who it was actually off.
I don't know. I just try to really enjoy the NBA, but, like, watching
they make
the
it
game,
so hard.
Not in the review parts. Like, yeah, that could be a little aggravating.
The raffing?
Yeah. The raffing, bro. I don't even want to go on a tangent about that because I've been bitching about it the whole time.
Oh, boy, have you.
Like, oh, boy, have you. I can't watch this shit, man.
Like, at least once a week. At least once a week, I get a text. It either says, I can't watch this shit, or I'm a 90s nigga. Like, I'm from the 90s.
Because it just doesn't make no sense how they rap it. Like, I don't understand how they go from PJ Tucker riding KD all the way down the court to the little touch fouls. And I'm just like, yo, I'm fine as long as you pick one.
Be consistent.
Yeah, be consistent. As long as you're consistent, I can't be mad. If they're calling it the little touch fouls all game, hey, you know that's the way that these guys ref the game. But they have no consistency, like, at all. And I'm just like, yo, this is insane to me. Like, I hate it. And it's just too soft to me. It's just, the league is so fucking soft, bro. All
right, so wait, did you... You thought Book really got Bev?
I didn't. I thought, like, he got... it doesn't look as bad in slow motion, but when you... I thought he sold it some, of course.
Yeah.
But I thought when he... The replay that I saw, his elbow looked like it hit him right in his mouth.
Okay, so I saw one where it did look like he got popped a little bit, but I also saw an angle where it looked like... It was, like, under his armpit in one of them. Like, he got hit here in the wing area.
No... Yeah, like, I thought he got hit both. Is that the thing we're talking about? Like,
but I'm saying, he dies!
When you get hit in, like, your mouth, though, like that, like, that
you, should you
hurt.
You do die. You that do die.
Hurt. And, Book probably gave, which was weird that, didn't call anything, though. Like...
No. They blew the whistle, and then he just didn't give a signal. They blew the whistle.
I didn't even, I just saw, but I'm saying, like, when it happened, I guess just maybe it's probably because he sold it. It didn't look like they called it, really. You know what I'm saying?
They didn't. He blew the whistle, but, like, you know how, like, you blow the whistle and then you do the traveling motion or the double dribble or carry or a charge. He just blew the whistle and didn't do anything.
Yeah, that was
and then they were like, oh, we're going to go look and see if this is a flagrant foul.
And that's another thing. Everything's not a fucking flagrant foul, bro. Like, that's another thing. They got to get rid of that shit. The game's too soft. It's too soft. These are grown men,
bro. It's a hostile act.
Bro, every single time there's something that, like, you can know what a flagrant is. Jokic's trying to punch a nigga in the face. Like, I don't know how people think that's a flagrant. And I think, like, that's a flagrant. Like, he tried to take my man's face off. That's a flagrant. That when... You drive past somebody, if you hoop, sometimes your arm swings back. Like, you're like,
yeah.
You do it, it's not on purpose, not a hostile act. Like, yes, does it hurt if you get hit in the face? Would I be mad if I was a defender? Hell yeah. Would I think that he didn't intend? No, that's not a hostile act. They got it. Like, the games are just taking too long, and they could just really get rid of a whole bunch of this extra stuff if they just stop babying these players, I think.
No, I agree. Like, you, there's a happy medium where it's, damn, B... That looked like he might have did that on purpose. But this one, we don't have to look at it.
Yeah, it was... But do you see anything that, like, Ty Lue can do? Like, I think Ty Lue has been, like... No, he's been the quickest coach to, like, make adjustments.
You keep saying that. And I keep saying...
No, but I'm saying, like, if you look at it, like, he doesn't... Like, Luke Kennard might be in the five. It might be Rondo in the closing five. Like, he trusts his guys. And I'm just saying, like, he'll really throw any five. Like, he has, like, the same. It's like Reggie, PG.
So my issue is just with your use of the word quickest. He goes down 0-2, and then he's like, all right, adjustment time, baby. Like, that's not really quick to me.
Okay, well, I feel like.
He makes very good adjustments when he finally makes them. But, like,
I think I didn't really see Nash, Bud, Carlisle made some.
I think Carlisle was a really good coach. He made
When he decided. I thought it was right. I just don't think they had enough to beat Wichita Coleman. We didn't see Snyder, the Jazz coach. That's why I'm just saying, like...
He's made very good adjustments.
No, I feel like he's also... I don't know if the other teams... they definitely could have. But I'm just saying, like, out of the NBA coaches in the playoffs, I think Ty's been the quickest. I don't think anyone's... Off the top, like, I'm looking as a, like, a whole.
Like, anybody's made, like... So, he's made series-winning adjustments. And you don't think anybody else has done that. I guess it's been him. I wondered, is that... And it's taken him 2 games each series to figure it out. So, I wonder what that says about NBA coaching as a whole.
What do you mean?
if he's been the quickest to make adjustments and it takes him two games every season? Well, I think
some people are...
And they could have won both these games. These were both very close games. They probably should have left Phoenix 1-1, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that's just how I see it. Maybe the Hawks, I've been watching them, but I haven't been watching all the way.
Well, they adjusted how they used Kevin Huerter in Game 7. Like, for somebody that came in as, hey, you're supposed to be a shooter, he shot 4 threes in Game 7. They said, nah, put that ball on the floor and kill Doc's son-in-law.
I'm not going to hold you. He got flamed, but he was doing his thing up
there. Oh, Seth Curry was awesome. Seth Curry was awesome. He said, well, first of all, I'm not supposed to be here to be the defender. And I'm probably not supposed to be... I'm supposed to be our fourth option and floor spacer. Why am I Mr. 30 Ball? Ben, what are you doing? Tobias Harris, help out!
Yeah, that's... bringing up the Hawks, did you want to preview a little bit Giannis Bucks? Or did you have anything else to say about the Clippers and
all right, so Phoenix? Can we just give credit to, one, knowing the rules? Did you know that rule?
The offensive rule?
No, yeah.
That's what you're talking about. I did not know that rule.
Okay, so I knew that rule because actually Phoenix has used that rule before. Jay Triano in December of like 2017 used it on a Tyson Chandler lob. And like the story always goes, a couple weeks before, he was just like giving them random NBA trivia. And he was like, hey Tyson, did you know that there's no such thing as goaltending on an inbounds? And Chandler's like, why do you know that? And then a couple weeks later, they use it versus the Grizzlies for the game winner.
That's kind of it. That's fine, honestly.
Like, it's going to be up. Like, you scroll through Twitter, Instagram, it's going to be up today because the similarities are too canny not to use it. I looked it up on YouTube. It's different angles, but it's the same situation versus the Grizzlies.
That was a hell of a pass.
I was going to say, can we give Jay Crowder
that's a hell of a pass.
Another big Van Gundy point is, that was a terrible spot to have to inbound from.
Bro, that pass was so perfect. Like, that shit was fucking there. Nigga, that's young Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson, CPR rolled in the one. That shit was perfect.
Oh, good. Why you bring that up? You know how Booker's favorite guy is Kobe, so he gets a lot of Kobe comparisons?
Yeah.
Which, for the most part, I'm not in love with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the big mid-range jumper he hit was very Kobe-esque, and then Paul George came down and hit another one, like one right afterwards.
We definitely just forgot something.
What?
Keep going.
So, but I want to talk about what Book did on that last sequence where the Suns had the ball. He made two winning plays that I think are a little bit different if he doesn't understand Kobe. Like, if he looks at Kobe like, well, what would Kobe do in this situation? Kobe would take the last shot. Instead of looking at it, Kobe would do whatever he wants to win. Or whatever he needs to do to win. So they inbound to Booker, and the double team comes immediately. So he has two options. He can go hard left away from the double, or he can do what he does, and he makes it. He passes it to Jay Crowder, whose man I believe is doubling, who swings it to Mikal Bridges in the corner, and he misses.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes out of bounds off Lord knows who because they didn't fucking show us, but they gave it to the Suns.
Uh-huh.
And then so that's one. That's one situation where if it's the Mamba mentality, how people who don't understand Kobe just wanted to win see it, he just goes hard left and shoots a shot regardless because I have to be the one to make the play. And then with 0.9 seconds left, it's, damn, well, this should definitely be for Booker. You always give it to your best player for the game-winning shot. You know what I mean? No, what's he do? He sets a fucking marvelous brush screen that leaves Zubac just a second late so that Ayton can catch it and dunk it. Like, that's the Mamba mentality. It's about winning. It's not about, I made that shot. Me. Get on my shoulders. I did it.
Yeah, I 100% believe that. I mean, you could just watching them because, like, I like good basketball players. You know what I mean? I'm not a big fan as you are, Book. I'm not going to cap. But, like, I know, like, he was the real deal. And when he's been losing for so long, you can, like, see in interviews and things that he says, like, he just wants to win.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't give a fuck if it's what he's doing. Like, of course, he's so good, he's going to do numbers. He's going to be a large part of the reason why his team does win, but he just wants to win. So, like, that type of stuff doesn't surprise me. And what I was saying is that we forgot was, I know we talked about it off air. My fault. I look like this. Really well. We talked about it off air. I don't think we talked about your boy PG missing the free throws. We didn't talk about it on air. We can't just skip over that.
Those free throws, it was a whole bunch of PG stuff at the end of the game.
Like, yeah, well, let's just tell it, because, I mean, they were down one. He pushes in, like, transition. Gets a lay, timeout, and I want to say...
Wait, but before that, Booker hit a jump shot and, get these niggas out of here! And then Paul George comes down and buries a mid-range jumper, too. That's smooth as shit, and all I can say is...
It was really good basketball. PG and Booker, like, down the stretch, I thought these guys, they were doing, like,
what you're supposed to do with the star.
Like, yep. Hitting tough shots, and like, the thing is, it looked cool.
Oh, man! Like,
it was a really good game, and I'm like, yo, y'all can say what y'all want about PG, but he is hooping right now.
And his game, when he's making shots,
it's so
his game, is one of the prettier games. Like, when he's rolling, he's Mr. I Look Dope.
It was, man. Like, and I'm not a PG fan, but I do like basketball. I'm just like, you can't make this shit up, bro. It's storybook with a twist. Because it's like, look, Kawhi's out. He beats the Jazz. And then he comes down in game one. They still lose, but he's clearly doing his part. And then, like, he's struggling all game. But, like, down the stretch, he's coming back to show you why he's that guy. And then it's like, maybe it's a happy ending to this. And then, let me put a little spice on this shit. He's gonna bong both these two.
So wait, when he stepped to the line, how were you feeling?
I thought he was gonna knock both these down.
Oh,
he just found his rhythm too. Like, he just had to lay up, he had a jump shot, his confidence has to be rolling, and he's been the guy, you know? So I'm just assuming that he would make these, and I'm thinking, all right, my mindset is these are going in. I wonder if D Book can hit a three. That's what my mindset is at the time.
All right, so my mindset is, I just need them to bong one of these. I don't want them to need a three. Don't just bong one of these, preferably the first. Like, I'm asking him to bong the first. Mm-hmm. Because if he bongs the second one, you know, weird shit happens. Like, time goes off the clock. Yeah. So just bong the first one. Like, because in my mind, there's no way he misses both. He bongs the first one. Yeah, it had a boy, PG. He bongs the second one, but it's long, and Mikal Bridges isn't on the line, I don't believe. I want to say he comes in from the three-point line.
I think you're correct.
And I'm just like, oh my God, especially after we just watched the Nets give up offensive rebounds that just ended their season.
Yeah,
it was. And so he bongs both of them. And then, so shout out to Ty Lue for trying to cheat. If my coach isn't trying to cheat, I don't want him.
What, Reggie on the floor?
If they're not trying to cheat, I don't want you, honestly. Like, want to win bad enough to cheat. Like, when I play, I hold shorts on screens. Like, I know it's not cheating, but it's cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially in pickup. What
held my shorts!
What are you going to say?
But I do it in leagues, too. Like, it's something I learned at basketball camp when I was, like, 8.
Yeah, because the ref can't see that. You can't see that.
Yeah, and then, like, I also learned, you know what Larry Bird used to do coming off screens? Hold his own guy's shirt. His own teammates.
What does that do?
The guy can't break it. He's got to run through you. He's got to run through my arm to get through the screen now.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's not a foul that I'm grabbing my own guy.
That makes sense.
But that's besides the point. So Ty Lue trying to get Reggie Jackson on the floor.
That's kind of creative there.
So now we're watching the court. Like, we're just getting a wide view of the whole court. Because everybody's spread out and they can't inbound it because they're trying to figure out what 10 players were on the court on the last play, because technically it wasn't a timeout or a dead ball.
Like, that's fine, because that's rules. Like, there's rules.
But so while that's happening, you and I are on the phone, and you're saying, man, Paul George is really, really far. That's what you keep saying, because the ball is in the right-hand corner under the Suns basket, far right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Paul George is in the far left-hand corner by the Clippers basket. He's literally as far away from the ball as he can be. And you're saying, well, why is he so far? And I'm like, well, I think he's going to get a running start. But he's, because I feel like everybody knew that they wanted to get the ball to PG.
Yeah.
But, like, that, you're right. He was as far as humanly possible from the ball while still being on the court. And then he gets it, and it's a tough pass. And I just want to know... In the real world, I think he caught it, and he knew how close he was to out of bounds. And he was trying to make sure he stayed in before he shot it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you and me watched it live, what did you say?
I know that's not the truth. Like,
No. What did you say?
I'm just saying, like, when he caught it, it was like PG knew he missed the free throws and they were already going to kill him. And, like, he caught it, like, they won't say I missed the game winner. They just say, I let the time expired. I don't have enough time to shoot it. Because, he caught it, checked his feet, time expired, and then threw it. And I was like, yo, this shit got to be all one fucking motion. Like, you just got to get something at the rim. Like, you know your chances are slim, but, like, your chances are none if you don't get it at the rim. Like, you know, just fire it and just hope to Jesus. And he was ballerining on the line. Then he turned, and I was just like, yo, like, come on.
So, NBA players do this a lot. Like, in, like, the first, second, and third quarter. Particularly the first and second quarter. Like, if you get it at the end, and, like, it's a shot that there's no way you can make, or the chances of you making it are super low, you get it, and then you, and then you finally shoot it. Yeah. So it doesn't jam up your field goal percentage.
Uh-huh. See it all the time.
You know the stat about Paul George. Like, besides the fact that, like, there's a lot of game winners in his
stats. I just want to say, I really don't think he did this. I just think, I don't know. I don't want to say it was a bad play drawn up, because, like, there's not a lot you could do in that section. But, like, catching it, turning, and shooting like that, man, that... I don't know. But I guess, like, if he catches in the fire right away, like, he might have a chance. I just don't know why the fuck he didn't do that, because, like, it was like, just try. It just seems weird to me that,
wait,
like,
if he steps out of bounds, he still doesn't get a shot up. So, yeah, like, that's his defense. No, that's
not. No, that's not, like, that's saying, defense, like, sir. Like, if that's what he would say, like, I was worried about being out. Well, it doesn't fucking matter. If you're out, game's over. Like, if you're not out, at least you have a chance. Like, just shoot it.
All right, so you know how there's, like, the father stretch my hands videos of him just getting game winners in his face?
Well, yeah, and there's the same shit with fucking Hitman Hollow with him just saying ball game. He's always like, no OT tonight.
So do you remember his Gatorade commercial that says no OT tonight?
Yeah, they're ball game.
And then they fry him about it because they're like, well, he's actually never hit a game winner. And, like, it's like he's like 0 for 13 in game winner situations.
Man.
What if in the back of his head he was thinking, well, if time expires before I shoot it, I'm not 0 for 14 because I didn't shoot the shot. I don't think that's what he was doing, but, like, the little pause where it felt like, I really do believe he was making sure he wasn't out of bounds, but it felt like, you said it, you were like, damn, it felt like he heard the buzzer and then he was like, oh, I better shoot it now. Like, instead of, it's 0.7 seconds, you catch and shoot.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That was.
And you make the ref make the call and say you're at, if you hit that shot, you make that ref be the bad guy where the whole world goes, yeah, maybe he did step out of bounds. But that's the call you made after that shot, after that game? You make the ref be the guy who says, no basket! Two on the line! Out of bounds! You make the ref make that call.
It was very depressing he didn't just try to get it out. And I guess he tried. I mean, I'm not even going to shit on Paul George because, like, he's been doing his thing.
He's doing his
thing. He's actually hooping. He's carrying these guys. He got other players helping him, but, like, he's leading the show, and he's looking like, he said he's back in indie mode, and he's back in indie mode. Like,
well, he ain't high-fived nobody. He ain't high-fived D-Book when D-Book was frying him for 16 straight in the third quarter in game one, so he's not in all the way indie mode.
Yeah, that's true. He did do that with Brown.
All right, let's get into Bucks Hawks. What are you looking forward to most in this series?
Honestly, I want the Hawks to win. I'm looking forward to, I think you alluded to, if you guys didn't listen to the last pod that my brother did, I'd definitely go listen to that. But I thought you made some good points with Drew and Trae Young. I saw that, I don't know who posted it or some shit. You know how you see shit scrolling through Twitter. Nigga, shoot outside, what's going on? But I seen Trae had... was Drew gave him a little bit of trouble. I mean, you can't put too much stock into the regular season as you've seen with Julius Randle and the Hawks. But nobody's made Trey guard yet. And you said this as well. And I want to see, like, is someone actually going to try to make him work on defense? I want to see who guards Giannis. Like,
well, who do you make? Who does Trey guard?
It's going to be, I was looking around. I was like, you're going to put him on Tucker? Like, who?
That's what I was thinking. Because Tucker's strong, like, and stuff, but he's not a real post player.
Like, if Tucker's beating you, I think, like,
hey, like, they're like, a good run.
Clear it up. Tucker post, like, that's.
It was a good run.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I'm assuming that's where he goes, how I would match up. The real thing right now is where I'm worried about for the Hawks is I think Middleton's the dude. Like, who's guarding Middleton? Is this Bogdanovich, I'm assuming, or Herder? But I think they're going to miss Hunter, this which I call him.
Oh, God.
I think this is a series where those guys, well, he's really going to, his presence going
to. So, miss. Who goes Giannis to you?
It's going to be Collins, I thought.
It's going to be Collins, and that's why I think they miss Hunter.
Yeah.
But just a combination of Collins and Hunter on Giannis is nice, or even you make them interchangeable if Giannis and Middleton go pick and roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Agree. And shout out to the Hawks, man, because, like,
I know you started going to Atlanta this year and they started trying to win chips.
Yeah, man. I mean, them niggas in the clubhouse told us. But
boy, did they.
No, but I just want to say, like, the fact that, like, it's Hunter.
Hunter's out. Herder's
Red Velvet.
Red Velvet is a top tier nickname.
But having Herder out and having Cam out, like, these dudes that, like, started for them. Hunter's really been good this year. I like him more than Cam. But I'm just saying, like, having another dude like that out as well. I'm just saying, like, and these dudes are really next man up. Like, no excuses. Like, they got a team full of hoopers. Like, yeah, Ben was ass. But, like, the fact that, like, these guys are still doing this shit and, like, overcoming it, like, I got to get credit where it's due. So, salute to ATL, baby.
And Nate McMillan, man.
Yeah, he's out here.
Lord, see, Pierce got to be sick to his stomach.
Yeah, it's probably like, damn, that's the last thing I want to see.
And did you hear some of the, like, sneaky stuff that NBA people were saying on NBA pods?
No.
About Lloyd Pierce? They were saying that the Hawks really wanted to be done with him. So that's why they fired him when they did. They fired him right before Bogdanovich could get back because they were scared that the run was coming. They were scared with a healthy Bogdanovich, the run was going to come no matter what. And then if they go on a 10-game winning streak or...
You look real like a jackass firing your coach.
No, you can't fire him anymore. So they were like, no, they got rid of him before Bogdanovich came back. Like, Bogdanovich comes back and they go on the big streak with Nate McMillan, but, like... Right when Bogdanovich comes back is when they were like, hey, Lloyd, you're out of here, chief.
I mean...
And Nate McMillan has been clearly coaching his ass off.
Yeah, I said I haven't been watching too much Hawks game, but I watched enough, and I could obviously, like, see these guys, like... He's doing it, as I just referred to, like, with an incomplete roster. Like,
they're not the stars out,
but, like, these guys are really... excuse me, competing. Like,
and he's changed the way Washington plays.
Young?
Trey Young, yeah. Like, and shout out to Nate McMillan and Travis Schlenk for trading Rajon Rondo. Because, boy, you know who's going to get the credit for the new resurgence of how the change in Trey's play. If Rondo was still on the team... And Rajon Rondo's really taught him that it's about letting your teammates go for the first three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, it's then your time. Oh, man, Rondo was getting all that credit.
Now, I thought Trey was good, but, like, this dude is prime time, and, like, he's exceeding my expectations.
Like, yeah, mine too.
No, I'm just saying, like, I said I seen the books coming, so, like, I knew Trey Young could always hoop, but I'm saying, like, this shit happening, like, this fast. Like, maybe niggas might be looking at it like, well, you could clearly see if he was a hooper. And, like, my bigger point is, I heard you talking about, like, the other guys with, like, I think it might have been Luka and Ayton. And I'm just saying, like, once again, basketball is a team game. Like, they did a fucking amazing job building around him, bro. If you look,
Warriors East.
But I'm saying, like, that's really amazing. Like, the way they built around him, bro, it's just like, oh my god,
this is my favorite rebuild. This is always my favorite rebuild to talk about. Travis Schlenk came from the Warriors. He's trying to rebuild. Who does Trey always get compared to? Steph. Who do you think Kevin Huerter is supposed to be?
Claybaugh?
Yeah. Who do you think? And now we need... All right, so what do we... We have a small point guard who can shoot. What do I really need to hide his weaknesses? How about big, athletic, interchangeable wings? Give me DeAndre Hunter at 6 and Cam Reddish at 10.
Yeah, they got like... They just...
They also drafted Amari Spellman, who, coming out of Villanova, my comparison was Draymond Green. He hasn't turned into that, but, like, that's where the thinking was. Draymond Green with a three ball.
Yeah, like, they fucking knocked that shit out
the park. And then they went and got good veterans. They got Bogdanovich. They got Gallo.
Yeah.
Clint Capella. Like, Travis Schlenk really built... He put on a team-building clinic around a guy. We have our guy. Now let's fill in around him. He went from drafting who he felt was the best player available in Trae Young to now I'm not taking the best player available. I'm taking the fit with the best player available.
Yeah, he's...
He's zipping people up.
He definitely is. And I feel like that's just the way the league's going anyway. With, like, having a bunch of 6'8", 6'9", like, 6'7", yeah. Like, it's changeable guys that could shoot and defend. So. All
right. So, I asked this question on the last podcast, but I didn't have anybody to answer me. Do you think Trae Young is breathing a sigh of relief that Jrue Holiday is guarding him instead of Thybulle and Simmons? Because those guys are just so much bigger. Like, I'll deal with 6'4 after 6'10 been draped all over me.
See, like, I believe, like, when you're at that level and you're that good, I don't think it really matters. Like, of course, you could have guys that, like, could give you, like...
That could bother you.
That could give you fits, but I don't think anyone goes into it like, fuck, it's this guy. You know what I mean? That's how I just feel like they're going to get busy regardless. Like, when those guys are, like, so good, like, I could see guys that would say that on the fucking defensive end, like, damn, like... This guy, like, guarding him, like, I feel like that gives them more problems. Why? How do you feel differently?
I just remember there was this one time a really good basketball player was at the free throw line, and another basketball player subbed back into the game, and he said under his breath, fuck.
Oh, Bron?
I'm not saying who it is. I'm just saying, this basketball player with braids checked back in to guard him, and that dude said, fuck. Like, just, like, the fuck with the shake in my head, the, this nigga's back? Damn it, man.
Okay, so maybe it does bother them. Maybe I'm not even thinking of it, but, like, at the end of the day, they still get busy, because, yeah, like, that's the same thing if you look at it, like, even if the, like, Trey was fucking killing those guys. And, like, you would think, theoretically, that would be... harder for him just because, like, they're bigger, longer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it would be easier just because, like, Drew's, like, he's still bigger than him, but, like, he's not 6'7 or 6', like, and I'm just saying, like, even with Bron mumbling, fuck, Bron got, like, they got fucking killed. But Bron was still Bron on that shit. Like, there's just nothing that he could do.
All right, is Brook Lopez still going to drop?
That's what I'm talking about. Bud's way too,
they should have. He's dead. Trae Young's floater is too good. If Brook Lopez is going to drop, Trae Young is going to float him. Plop, 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 plop. Just keep dropping floaters right on his head. Like, you stand there, jackass.
I just think they're going to try to abuse
him. I assume they're going to play him off the floor. Like, I assume we see Giannis at the five. Or Tucker at the five. However you want to call it. There's no way that... As much pick and roll as the Hawks run, there's no way he can... Especially if... Well, who does he guard? Oh yeah, they're doomed. He's out of here. He might as well just put on street clothes after tonight.
It's gonna be interesting to see. I think Bud's very resilient with sticking to his guys, bro. I think, cause I really think like that was the reason they were all the Nets just needed a healthy Kyrie or a healthy James. Like, no, actually, it ended up like working in the fucking end because like Lopez was actually huge, like getting offensive rebound and shit. And I think we said that even on the spot today.
No. We did what we didn't say, and what I forgot to mention, me and you talked about this, is an adjustment Steve Nash could have made is, did DeAndre Jordan die? I don't think he's great, but I thought we should have seen a little bit of him in that series.
He could have tried something.
Him, Nix Claxton, just some big.
But I'm just saying, they were like with KD and Bree drop.
Or if Joe Harris remembered he was white.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you got to think those guys are like 20, those guys are the 50-40-90 club. Those guys could, like, mid-range masters.
Yeah.
And they could fucking shoot the shit out of the three ball as well. And I'm just saying, like, if you're sticking to that with those guys on the court, I feel like it's going to be hard to play them off with Trae Young.
Oh, well, then Trae Young might be. If that's the plan, and
I think he did. What game was it? Game six. He closed with
Giannis at the five, and they smoked him.
Yeah. So I'm thinking like it's definitely doable, but I'm just saying I think you might see a little. Bud, just make the change, and
I don't want him to make the change. I want them to lose. But so, Bud, keep doing your thing. All right, draft lottery came out last night. I'll pull up the order. Actually, I have it pulled up already. We're almost like professionals. Detroit, Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, Orlando is the top five. Oklahoma City, oh my God. It's got to hurt to be them.
They have all these picks, bro.
And they got six. Golden State has 7 and 14.
It's good for Golden State.
7, 14, Wiggins, and I can't make a fucking trade for Ben Simmons. I don't know. It's only because Joel Embiid probably doesn't give a fuck about what you can get at 7 and 14. You know what I mean? Like, bring me good players back.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Just seems like...
Like,
yeah.
Bring me players back. Don't tell me...
And then you're bringing me Wiggins with it? Yeah. Like, one dickhead for another?
At least this dickhead will get you 20. And he's an okay defender.
Sometimes. Then will he get you 20 when it matters most?
I don't know. He's been in the playoffs one time. And then when he was in the play-in game, you remember the shot he shot?
That's what I'm saying.
The whole world was like, you know Steph Curry's on your team because?
Yeah, that's a... I can't see that happening.
All right. Who would you take if you were number one with Detroit? It doesn't matter. You weren't Detroit. You just had the number one. Who's your highest rated prospect is my question.
Right now, I really like Green and I like Cade. Like, I don't think it's just the surefire thing that Cade's the number one. Like, to me, to like the basketball world, I'm aware of what everybody else thinks. Like, they have Cade.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Oh, Cade. But I love Jalen Green.
Yeah, me too.
All right,
I think it's gonna be fun to watch this coming off to like with these rookies in with the new intimate of the G League and these guys in high school.
I'm glad you brought that up.
If they're a little bit more polished right away, because with the like the college is college and it's like it's really good, but I'm just saying like I think we don't know. We're gonna have to keep watching and need more than 1 year, of course. But it matters on the player as well. But I think that since they're so close to the NBA, getting like real NBA coaching, have vets on their team, and there's going to be a little bit more NBA coverage since it's closer to that style of game, I wouldn't be surprised if these guys come in like a little bit more prepared, you know?
All right.
So I'm interested to see that.
So you said that a couple months ago, Jalen Green tweeted, if I had gone to college, there'd be a different discussion on who the number one pick is. He then deleted it.
I hate when niggas do that shit. Say it with your chest. If you're going to say it, don't remind me yelling some shit at the top. What'd you say? And then just walking away.
But I think it's stupid. I think it's a stupid thought process. Just because, yes, he might have, if he would have said, if I went to college, I'd have more endorsements, fine. I'd have a bigger sneaker contract, fine. If you're telling me that the GM of the Detroit Pistons gives a fuck about your social media following with the number one pick, I'm telling you, he's going to have a very short career as the GM. Like, the people that make these decisions, they can't factor in your brand. And if they do factor it in, they can't factor it in more than basketball. Like, Cade's brand isn't that big. You know what I mean?
Wait, what are you trying to say?
Jaylen Brown is saying that because Jaylen Green is saying because he went to the G League, people aren't talking about him as the number one pick. And if he would have went to college, they would have.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense to me because the NBA GMs are the ones who make the picks, and they're going to see you whether you play in college or the G League. It sounds like he's basing it off of what ESPN says or what the casual fan says. I would take him with the number one pick.
I was thinking that he's saying, like, the college game is easier. That's how I was looking at it. I was looking at it from a standpoint as, like, the competition I'm playing right now, the competition this league is playing is different. And, like, if I'm out here on the college floor with these guys, my game's going to look a little bit different than right now. Like, I'm telling you I'm that, too. That's how I was looking
at it. Okay, see, that's why it's good to have somebody to bounce these ideas off of. Because the way I interpreted it, especially because he deleted it, mm-hmm. was that he was saying, I lost out on on being recognizable.
I think that's true as well.
But I think he's saying that, like, in the record, being recognizable would have helped him be the number one pick. And I don't think that's true. But what you're saying makes sense, especially because he shot 36% from three. But what is that? Maybe 40 in college? Because the three-point line is so much closer.
Yeah, I definitely feel with that's how I interpreted it, but I don't know. I mean, hopefully we get some feedback on this pod and let us know how you guys interpret it as well. And I do think it is real because I feel like, Cade's not a runaway one and done how everybody's making it seem. So I think, like, there's a little truth in it to me. So that's how I'm looking
at it. Can I ask you what your issue with Cade is? I think I know what it is. Go ahead.
I don't even know. I just... I like Cade. Like, he's really skilled. I do think he's a wing. I'm not sure if he's
a true
point guard. But, like,
but the way the game's changing, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think. And I like guys like that. I just talked to, we've been saying this for, like, years, like, the lead's 6'8", 6'7", interchangeable guys. So that if he could play a little PG, that's ill to me. I don't think he's, I don't want to, he's really skilled. I'm not sure if he's as the athlete I like my dudes to be. But that's normally always my problem. And what I realized in the past is I'm going to value skill more than athleticism, though. So I'm not, that's not even like my, I think sometimes I was a little bit too hard on dudes. Like, I wanted dudes to be like 2K players. Like, he's a vert 99, speed 99, and then he got to be able to shoot like Curry. Like, that's you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of hard to do.
And I think that's what I think that, like, his average athleticism.
But I'm saying I think he could still wind up being that guy just because, like, he's still so creative with the ball. And he looks like he has good footwork. And I don't know why, but, like, that shit really... Like, if you're able to, like, just score, you know what I mean? Like, if you're just able to get to your spot, then he's big enough. So, I think it's interesting, and I just don't think he's the number one runaway guy, how I look at it.
Like, he could still be the number one pick, but you just don't think he's so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, like, last night you seen on, Pistons get the, what's our call, number one pick. Cade's a Piston, Cade, and I'm just thinking, all right, like, he probably is going to be a Piston, but I'm just saying, like, I don't feel like, if we look back in a few years, like, if, like, oh, damn, this green guy was actually the fucking truth, too. Like, shit, how do we kind of... I don't want to say overlook, because top five is not overlooking something.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, maybe he should have been in discussion as well.
Do you like Jonathan Kuminga?
Like his body.
Okay, That's a no.
No. I think I think there's a lot of promise for guys like that. And I do wish, like, it would have been a lot easier to see these niggas. I mean, guys, sorry.
It was. But, I say it all the time. It was. Were on TV just at weird times. Like, at, like, 1 p.m. in the middle of the day.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you could kind of get into a college basketball flow. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing today? I'm just chilling. Like,
not just even chilling. And at 7 p.m., I know there's going to be a game on.
Yeah, and then you're just watching it on Saturday. You could just watch a few games throughout the shit. And then, like, no surprise here, like, the biggest thing that everybody loves, tournament time, like, you're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
that's how I was just looking at it.
Right. I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I mean, we...
Did we miss anything?
No, I'm just saying we didn't... Suggs, Mobley... I don't want to keep it. I don't know how long it's going. I definitely don't want to keep it too long.
No, but I think I think I need to do more research before I get, like, really draft in depth. Like, I can tell you the top names.
Yeah. I just want the, like, damn, we're going to talk about two niggas? Like, I just didn't want to. But that's fine.
All right. Make sure you guys follow Yosh, a.k.a. at jshaw03245. I'm Rob, a.k.a. Pod God. This has been the Show's Law Podcast. And like that, we out.